Name 85 is Atmavan. Van, we know this suffix, means who is possessed of, just like Bhagavan means who is possessed of Bhaga or opulence. Or Balavan means who is possessed of power. So Atmavan, the most literal meaning would be he who is possessed of the Atmas. There are other meanings also. This word also comes in Sri Bhagavad Gita to describe the jiva. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nitvandva Nitya Sattvasto Nir Yoga Kshema Atmavan. So this usage of the word Atmavan in Bhagavad Gita to describe the jiva, there are several meanings of the word Atmavan, and I'll go to explain that. But so many names of Vishnu can also be names of jivas or attributes that jivas have. Just like Dhanvi, that means he who has a bow. And that name, of course, Vishnu himself has the Shanga bow. And Ramachandra in particular, among all the forms of the Lord, is famous for his bow. But there are many other bowmen also. But some names, they are more specifically names of the Supreme Lord, just like Ishvara, the controller. So that name ultimately is applicable to him only. But others may also be known as Ishvara. A king may be known as an Ishvara, for instance. Some names very specifically refer to the Supreme Lord only, just like Trivikram, he who had three great steps, refers to Vamana. The name Vamana can be applied to any dwarf, not just Vishnu in the form of a dwarf. So this name Atmavan can also apply to jivas, as Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita uses the term Atmavan to refer to a highly elevated spiritualist. But in some senses, it can only apply to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So the immediate meaning is he who is full of souls, which means that all the jivas, they're non-different from him. Mamai vangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. In one sense, all the jivas are non-different from him, being his parts and parcels. All living beings are within him. They cannot be independent of him. And in particular, he is the owner and controller of all the souls. The commentator, the Sri Vaishnav commentator here, he states that this particularly means the real owner and controller of the souls of those who do virtuous activities, because the previous name, Kriti, has been Parashara Bhakta, has given the main meaning of that as he was the cause of the virtuous acts of his devotees. So Atmavan, because he ties each name, one name with the next, he doesn't take them as independent. He finds a relationship between each name, why they're in this particular order. So he states here that Atma here refers to those who do perform pious acts, to the devotees, who is composed of the devotees. This is supported by the statement of Bhagavan, a famous verse from the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, that sadhu nam hridayam mahyam sadhu nam hridayam tvaham madanyate na jananti nahang tebyo managapi, in which nahang tebyo managapi, in which the Supreme Lord states to Durvasa Muni that the sadhus are my heart, and I am their heart, because they know nothing but me, and I know nothing but them. So, Krishna, he is the owner, or composed of, the controller of all living beings, but particularly that can be said of those who recognize their position of subordination to him, or those who are Atmavan. Those who are Atmavan, those who have found their self or who live in themselves, he is the life or the controller of those souls in particular. So other meanings of the Atmavan means to be, it means to be full of oneself. Now in English that's an idiomatic expression. If you say someone is full of themselves, it means they're narcissistic, they're egoistic, proud, they think that they are the best person. So that's not a very good quality. So why should we say that Krishna has that quality? Well, in Krishna's case, it is a good quality. Because if people just think of themselves, that's stupid, because everyone is insignificant. But Krishna is significant. If Krishna thinks about himself, that's very good. Because, and anyway, he can't think about anything else anyway. Because everything is him. Now, if you say he can't, that means, well, he's not God. Well, he can do also, because everything's also simultaneously different from him. So you can't catch him. Can't catch him out. yeah, we find that in Bhagavatam is the description of Krishna early in the morning in Dwarka after rising. He meditates on himself. Now, for anyone else to do that, that would be very egoistic. But Krishna is setting the example that everyone should meditate on Krishna. So, that's what he does. He meditates on himself. And in this way, he also becomes astonished by and attracted to his own qualities, which is why he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he finds that when I think about this person, Krishna, he's very nice. I'd like to experience the happiness of being a devotee of this Krishna, but I can't because I am Krishna. So he takes another role. another translation of the word Atmavan. Now here, taking help of the Sanskrit dictionary, that means Monia Williams, Sanskrit to English dictionary, we find the word self-possessed is given of Atmavan. So I don't know if you have parallel terms in your language, but self-possessed is defined in the English dictionary as calm. Or synonyms which give an idea of what the word self-possessed means. Someone who is calm, confident, in control of his emotions. In other words, his self is not under the control of material desire or passion, is not influenced by others. He's in control of himself, self-possessed. We'll often that term is used usually, well, not always, it's not such a common term, but it would be applicable to use that in a circumstance where some chaotic condition has just arisen and everyone is disturbed and running around and they don't know what to do. And someone who remains with his wits about him and without getting disturbed, assesses the whole situation and understands what to do, such a person will be called self-possessed. So Krishna, he's in control of his emotions. This is particularly as Vishnu Sahasranam. Of course, when we find Krishna in Vrindavan, then it may appear to be different. But intrinsically, he who teaches Bhagavad Gita, who teaches the science of self-control, how one should not degrade oneself by the mind, natmanamavya, that word atma, udharedatmanatmanam natmanamavasadayat, atmaiva ripuratmanaha. Krishna says that one should elevate himself by the atma and not be degraded by the atma. That means one should be elevated by the mind and not degraded by the mind. So Krishna certainly, who gives this teaching, he is not degraded by his mind because he is self-possessed. That means he's not controlled by any external agency. Because ultimately there is no external agency. Nothing is different from Krishna. Another meaning of Atmavan means that, full of Atmas, we already said that. He is literally made of and full of himself only, because there is nothing different from him. So his existence, the existence of Krishna, means there is only Krishna. So he is not existing. He's not made up of any external substance or force. He is self-sufficient, being full of himself only. He doesn't need any help from any others to do anything else or to understand anything else. Particularly, the example is given that he produces Brahma from the lotus that grows from his navel. Brahma takes birth and all living beings, aham bija pita prada, all living beings are injected by him, actually in the form of Shambhu. But he doesn't need Lakshmi to produce a child. A male requires the help of a female, but that is not required for Vishnu, because he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need to rely on others. Which, understanding all the implications of these terms, that makes particularly Krishna's Leela more astonishing, his human-like pastimes more astonishing, because he takes advice from Uddhava. He appears to rely on others, although he is self-sufficient. Atmavan, he is of himself. He's not a divided personality, as is fairly common nowadays, a bipolar personality. But Krishna is not like that. He also, being of himself and being composed only of himself, he's not even influenced by time. It's not that his outlook and mentality changes in course of time, as we see with others. A child, the mentality of a child is different to that of a youth, is different to that of a middle-aged person, and which may mature further into the outlook of an old age person. But Krishna is fully himself all the time. He's not subject to any outside forces. What the Krishna who spoke to Arjuna is the same Krishna who always existed. Even though he appears in this world many times, he states, Bahuni mevya titani janmani tava charjana tani ahang veda saravani natvang veda Parantapa. No, what is that? Yeah, anyway. So Krishna states that I have appeared many times and so have you. I know all about this, but you don't, Arjuna. Now, we take birth again and again and again due to our karmic activities, and we may have a different personality in different lifetimes. For instance, if we're born as a dog, then our whole outlook on existence is going to be different to that is it than if we take birth as a human. Or even in previous human births, we may have an apparently very different personality. So people, they're concerned to be atmavan, to be one with themselves, to get in touch with their inner baby or whatever, their inner self or their real self, and understand who they really are. But we misidentify with the present matrix of egoism, which we have inherited from previous births. And that may be quite different in another birth. Someone who's, for instance, introverted in this lifetime, to use modern psychological terms, may be extroverted in another lifetime. Or they may even undergo a change in this lifetime. And even by taking a certain drugs, one's personality may appear to change. But Krishna is always himself. Krishna, he appears again and again and again, but he's the same person. He looks the same. He has more or less the same pastimes. He has the same associates. He is the same personality. The same likes and dislikes. He likes certain food and dislikes other kinds of food. So, in this way, Krishna is truly full of himself, and he knows himself. Now, another point. The name just came up just before this, Kritagya, which means grateful. One name of Krishna means that he's grateful. So even though he is Atmavan, which means that he does everything, he is quite capable of doing everything by himself, but he gives opportunity to various devotees to serve him, and he's genuinely grateful for them doing so. He doesn't need the help of anyone, but he takes the role of being as if in need, and he sincerely appreciates the service of others. Now, often we find, there are many instances in Shastra of terms which appear to describe the destruction of the Atma. Yesham nashitam atmanaha. Hitvatma patam grihamandakupam. What is that? Hitvatma pata, yeah. Hitvatma. That means one loses oneself. You lose your Atma. Well, you can't really lose your Atma. That's what we say, my body. But it's not really my Atma. We talk about my soul. But it's not really, if we say my soul, that means we think I am a body with a soul. But it's round the other way. If we say my body, that's okay. But I am Atma. But Shastra often speaks of Hitvatma, losing oneself. Or Yesham Nashitam Atmanaha. By which the Atma is spoiled or destroyed. So, Krishna, he, Atma Stabda, that's there in the 16th chapter, the Atma of the or the self of demoniac people is stopped, or halted, suspended. So Krishna, he's never in such a situation. He is always pure Atma. There's no question of Krishna ever losing himself or forgetting himself. Although that does also happen. Again, many of these, this is after all Vishnu Sahasranam, which describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is, of course, none different from Krishna. But Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he also, particularly in Vrindavan, performs pastimes which are apparently not godlike. And so we can contrast all these descriptions of him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his pastimes in Vrindavan, in which he appears to be not self-controlled. He appears to forget himself, being overwhelmed by anxiety for having lost the association of his beloved, and so on. So, Hare Krishna. I'm not going to say more now, unless there are any questions. Who spoke this? This is the one, I'm going through the one spoken by Bhishma Dev. From Mahabharata, yeah. There's at least one other in Garuda Purana.
When Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows?
Yeah, when he was lying on the bed of arrows. Yudhishthira took so much advice from him. And one of the questions Yudhishthira asked was, well, what's the most beneficial activity, and what gives most auspiciousness? And Bhishma Dev said to recite the name of Vishnu, and then he recited this. Hare Krishna. You have a question? Yeah.
Maharaj, you said that Krishna is full of himself.
Yeah.
Why did he come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
That you weren't listening. You were playing with your kid. I already spoke about that. You didn't. Anyone else can say?
He wanted to experience what his devotees are experiencing.
Yeah. He appreciates himself so much, but he finds in the position of Krishna, he can't appreciate himself as fully as his devotees do. Therefore, he takes the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of appreciation for himself. Already discussed during the class, briefly. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.